being handed out. Hold on.
We're good.
It's fun learning to reteach and teach and reteach. I've learned in the last 3 years a lot of things change. So anyhow, redeeming our time and scheduling. It's good to be back here again, isn't it? Like Jill said, we were at camp last week, and we were building foundations in the young girls and young men at our church. I pray that this class is doing that for you in this season of life, and that you're able to build on the biblical foundation and expand yourself in Christian living, because that's really what we're doing. Each time we come together, it should help you to know that we blend our secular life and Christian life more and more as we become sanctified. There's times when you say, whoa, I really secularized that. I put that over here in a box, you know. You don't even need to. So I hope as we go along that we get to the nitty-gritty of managing our homes and to our Christian lives the way we want to lead them. As the Holy Spirit fills you, I hope that you have had some time maybe in the last, I'm trying to figure out, is it 7 weeks that we've been doing this?
Yep.
To maybe start a new Bible memorization, or to evangelize, or to journal, stewardship, organization, loving your husband more, loving your children more. I'm really disappointed I missed that one last week. I need to listen to it yet. Biblical fasting, whatever it is, that we keep growing in new ways and at all times, right? So I pray that we don't grow tired and we don't become consumed with dullness. A lot of you probably can't even imagine that right now when you have small children, but there will be a time when dullness likes to creep in, and that we be creative in our ways of our heart to serve and glorify God in loving and organized ways. I'm hoping those things for us. As we look at the quote for this time, it's one of my favorite people, Al Mohler, and his quote, "We cannot add to time, we can only exercise stewardship over the time we are given." And Al Mohler, I don't know who picked the quote for this, but any of you know anything about him? Mm-hmm. What do you know?
Well, he is the president of the
Boys Seminary.
Mm-hmm. He has spoken on the radio. He's a well-known speaker. Southern Baptist?
Yep. Mm-hmm. He's been the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's the 9th president of that seminary. I've had a good friend that was his assistant. He has a huge basement, and it is just filled with books. He makes a game out of it. You can go over and pick out a book, and he'll tell you what that book's all about. He read them all, every book in there, and he can tell you about them. So that, I think that's really phenomenal. He keeps up on an unbelievable amount of information, but he is very scheduled in his time. When he sleeps, when he gets up, it's very regular. He travels all over the world. If you listen to the briefing, he takes this month off for rest, as later on we'll get into that in this book. He exemplifies an excellent life in training. I mean, his Bible study time, his, you know, just what we're talking about. So if you want to look into him and look him up, he, like I said, he takes off this month. It's the only time he gives himself a break. But the podcast and the blog are unbelievable. And if you need answers to contemporary issues, he's the guy to go to.
I think he also only sleeps 4 hours a night, isn't that right?
Yes. He does only sleep, but he sleeps regularly at the same time.
Like, who wants to try that?
Oh, and he's from Lakeland, Florida.
Is he?
Yes. Yeah. And he went to a...
There you go, Janet.
Yeah. Yes, and I read more up on him today. I forget the name of the camp. I see the sign when I go up there by Lakeland. There's a church camp that he went to that he equates a lot of his growing up to in the Word. So anyhow, he's really neat. Ida Schaefer, I'd like you to know about the people that I keep throwing out quotes from. So I thought I'd throw a little bit about her. She was born to missionary parents that were Chinese for China missionaries. She met her husband at college in Pennsylvania. They both went to a speaker, and she was going to stand up and refute this Unitarian pastor. And before she could do it, he stood up and did it. I think that's kind of a neat, right? So that's how they met and married. They then pastored churches in Pennsylvania and Missouri. And then they were sent as missionaries to Switzerland. After several years, though, they parted with the missionary organization they were with and started their own ministry. Where she gathered, though, her vast ability to understand how to apply Christian life is they would have up to 30 visitors a week, some of them hippies, some of them atheists, some this, that, and the other, but she served them all as unto the Lord. And she was asked at one time, are you being a martyr taking care of all these people? And she said, no. Every day, every person, every cup of tea, every lunch. She was famous for a once a week high noon tea that she put on. I do it unto the Lord, not unto, you know, to be recognized. So she always answered things very well. Tim Chalice and the Gospel Coalition have amazing obituaries of when she died, and that was in 2013. If you Google them, they come up. Tim Chalice's mother evidently was deeply influenced by her, and then because of her, taught him. So that's another neat little fact. So I always have to start with the virtuous woman, because in all these things, if we're going to keep up the home, if we're talking to a neighbor, if whatever we're doing, I just have to make sure my virtuous woman is there and that I've slept and I've rested and I spent time in God's Word. So a virtuous woman is someone who's seeking God's ways. It's a type of woman who can use the information and training in this training manual. We have had great chapters on biblical scholarship, spiritual discipline, husbands, loving our children. But we have to have a plan for tackling the cleaning of the home and handling of fear and anxiety caused by these God-entrusted responsibilities. There are times I know I have trembled at the end of my bed praying, Lord, I don't know how to raise this child that you gave me. I need your strength and wisdom. I don't know how to tackle the mess that's sprung up in my home. I don't know how to meet my husband's needs. I don't know about you. I've been there many a time, clinging to the end of my bed in prayer. So I just pray that you have God's Word to do that with. And if we could, I ask several people as we go around. I think these verses, I make lists of verses when I'm going through these times and put them on note cards and then taped them underneath the end of the bed or somewhere that when I'm down there praying, they're right there. I don't even have to go get them, you know, because they'll disappear if I leave them on the table. So a woman who spends time in her devotions through the study fears the Lord.
Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised.
All right. 2, she guides her home with biblical values and love.
Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
She rises up and works for the care of the home.
She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens.
4, she is not idle and looks to ways, not her household.
She looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness.
She is a godly woman who has the law of love in her heart, but wisdom on her tongue and loan of kindness on her. Okay, what's going to happen to my printout?
Autocorrect.
Yes.
She looks Words. Well to the wisdom of her household and wisdom of idleness.
There we go. Thank you. She puts her interests of others above her own.
Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her.
She schedules her time. That's all right.
I looked up the wrong word.
The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps.
She settles her thoughts on God.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
So those are the types of verses that before I would start studying this chapter, keeping up with the home, or excuse me, with scheduling, I try to put those things first. Tonight we come to the topic of scheduling with loving kindness. As Edith Schaefer states in Common Sense Christian Living, she just moved ahead and she talks about when Christian living includes drudgeries, the unchanging preparation of three meals a day, or plowing a field, or facing a complicated decision like an executive, or teaching a class of 30 fifth graders. It also includes the sudden burst of creative ideas, composing music, or a poem, or a garden, or a table arrangement for supper, realizing that such things are not meaningless, stupid, purposeless, foolish, simple, because we're in the world where the news is of war, and more destruction, and more suffering. And we want to make sure that we keep that balance, because as it gets out of control, or as we get things under control, we can get consumed when it doesn't seem to go right. All right, now we're gonna go to our handout, and keeping up with the home, just go over a few of the things from last time, because that's really the foundation for the scheduling. And I'm not sure that I did a really good job of going over the schedules, or maybe not at all. But anyhow, how many of you got out of here that the checklist? Did you get to see the checklist? Because that's the foundation. Going through and looking for your family and saying, when we do the kitchen, we need to wipe the sink, wipe the counter, take out the trash, whatever you're going to decide is your kitchen duties, then whatever's going to be the duties for your bathroom. And that lovely hand, I really like the Household Management 101. You've got some great starters there that you'll have to tweak for your family and for age appropriateness. The short ones might not be able to reach the top of the refrigerator if you're asking them to clean out the refrigerator for a garbage night or whatever. So, does everybody have a concept of these? Are you using something like this? Are you thinking about using something like this? Or this is like, wow, get this out of here, it scares me.
Did you already pass those out, did you say?
What?
I know I missed a lot of weeks. Did you already pass those out? Is that right?
This is actually, if you go to the link at the end of chapter 4, and I'm not sure that I showed these individual ones, I brought them and then I passed around, but I'm not sure everybody saw them. I couldn't remember if I highlighted them. But if you download the link for household management, the 40 pages are free. So you can get these lists. Yeah, it's nice. And it fits in very, very well with, if you turn to page, it would be 31, but it's actually our handout. And you'll see the circular chart. So after you decide, you know, what chores you're going to have your family do, what chores you need to do, I think it's good to write down everything you're going to do as well. Because you will miss things. And times get crazy. New babies come, or company comes, or your husband's job changes, or you get sick, or whatever. So then once you have those charts, you want to fit those into this chart and make your own. And maybe circular isn't for you. Maybe it's doing, I don't know if any of you guys know what a dot journal is. You know what I'm talking about when I say that?
No.
It's the new thing for ladies. I tried to look this up because I felt kind of older when I started doing this lesson. I'm like, wow, my stuff's all like 25, 30 years old. Anyhow, it's a way of keeping track of doing different things. So you buy these journals, they have little bitty dots. You get fun markers if you're into color. And you can track things like your chore chart. And you can draw it out, maybe a square or a house, or go on Pinterest. You can look up 300 ways to organize your
information. So the dots are so that the lines aren't already drawn in for
right.
you.
Right.
Can make it.
And you can, let's see, I just did some Bible stuff. You can keep track of books that your kids read, or you could do chores that they've done. You know, so that's the creative way to do it. Or you can, if you're a computer person, make your chart on the computer. Or the old-fashioned, another old-fashioned way is, I went and bought a new calendar. I haven't had one of these in a while, because I usually do it electronically. But this is another great brand, and it's got a great encouragement in it. It's got Bible verses, and the pages come out, and then you can put them back in, like that. They sell them at Walmart and Hobby Lobby and online. This one I got for $2.50 at Hobby on clearance. They're usually about $25. And then you can buy add-in packs.
What do you call it?
It is called the Crate 365. And so this one's kind of endless because you buy the blank pages that you can get ones with the dates aren't on them, or you can get the pages with the dates. To start tracking your chores. And there's organizational pages for like around $10 that you can buy to put in there that have room to write out your to-do lists and cleaning schedules. So those were a couple of other ideas, because we're not all wired the same. We're all creative different ways. I find different people. Now, some people, this is it. This is the way they like to see the information. This was a sample of how to do a cleaning schedule. And then here's your blank one. It's already in there, so photocopy it or take a picture of it. Then there's also, you know, online calendars that come free with all the, on our smartphones. You can type everything in there and have it beep at you and remind you, clean the potty, pick up the dishes, you know? Companies come in an hour. But, so those are fun ways to look at those. Does anybody have one that, like, you're using right now that's not something I mentioned that you could share with the group that would help the ladies here? Is that an area that people need help in?
Sure.
So would it be advantageous then for us to say at some point, can we sit down with the calendars and Cheryl, or now we're at church, and we just go through and we make up lists for our home and make our notebooks up and be encouraged that way? Yeah, I was started that way. Don't think that I was born just doing this. Jill said that through the ladies at this church, right? You were helped with this kind of thing, or you had something already?
I actually was searching online, and I found it in a homeschool forum.
Right.
It saved my life.
Yeah. That's where I got Mama Saving Grace was over there. I guess I left it over there. But I had to look desperately for something because I was like, oh my word, these kids are growing, I'm teaching reading, and I gotta clean something and help. So nobody should feel guilty about not knowing how to do this. This is something that's not covered anymore. I think we were mentored, young girls were loaned out more in their teens, I know I was, to go help the mom that had a new baby. I went every night after school for a week. I don't think that happens anymore. Mm. You know, so there's no guilt here. We're about learning. And so when I'm asking questions, I want to be there, and I want to make sure that this doesn't become this big elephant in the corner for you. That's not the purpose of anything we should ever do at church or through God's word. So all you have to say is help. Or maybe just raise your hand a little and I'll say, okay, help is coming. All right, so we'll schedule something like that, and I'll try to tell you what materials to get together and find out what you need, okay?
Now, is this something more for, like, maybe when your kids are older and you kind of have, like,
this for them, or was this something that you had for yourself also as a go-to?
Go ahead, Christiana.
Oh, start now, honey.
Yep.
You start now.
Yes.
You start now before you get that first child.
Right. Because you want to have your routine going, and it's so much easier to change things out as life changes, but you need a foundation. And I know we had the question, like, when does this, like, reap you lots of free time? I don't know that that will be the issue, but it will reap you peace and everybody else in your family. It'll eliminate a lot of strife.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be bickering between your children if you kind of already have it figured out. Not that there's not going to be any bickering. I didn't
no promises that. On that, sorry, girls.
But it helps your husband to know where he fits in, you know, and what your load you're carrying and what's realistic. I was going to get into that a little later, but if we don't sit down and write out what we're trying to do, we've got this huge elephant out there that we can't even manage because we don't even know what we're trying to manage. You know, that was the biggest thing I think I learned. When I started writing down, I had expectations up here. I'm a planner. Scared myself. But anyhow, it was much better when I started writing it down. I'm like, okay, this takes 15 minutes. There's no wonder why I can't get this done. You know, I'm being unrealistic. And then I'm not being cute to the rest of my family when I'm not exactly like those first 8 verses we read. So anyhow... So let me make sure I went through this here. I want to make sure you had the task list, it had the resources. There's also the fly lady. I think I told someone else, she just bopped around the page too much for me, and that looked like an excellent resource, but I just couldn't handle her, like, all over. I just like the household management one because of the graphics on the page. So that it looked like an excellent resource, though, too. Make sure you have your task sheets. Yeah. And make sure you have that overall picture, because all of this doesn't work if you, it's kind of like baking a cake. If you gather up all the ingredients but you never have the recipe, you never get the cake baked. But if you,
good analogy.
Right? But if you put the tasks together and then look at the big picture, and you know, you have, and it's going to take your husband's level of comfort too. I had to find that out because I could really organize everybody to death, and they won't like me very much. So you have to learn to adjust. Like I said again, though, make sure you know if you're going to use electronic, paper, and where these things are going to be. Okay, that's huge. Where is this binder going to be? Is the file going to be kept on your computer? You know, are you going to have all these forms because you download it? Keep a master file. I can't tell you how many times I think little ones placed my list elsewhere. In hopes that maybe the task would go away. I'm not so sure, even my husband. But but put it, Jill hung hers on the wall again. I'm a hang it on the wall person. People come over and they say, wow, you homeschool. I kind of think even if I went to homeschool, there would have been lists of things to do on the wall. And Bible memory and those things. That was just my style. I like to see what we're doing, and I want to communicate that way with my family so that they know what's going on. I like the menu out there so they know what food we're eating. My family then knows not to eat up something. They look at the ingredient list. They say, okay, that's not game, you know. So those things will help you. All right, now... we're going to go to the new chapter, so chapter 7, and we're going to look at how we're going to manage that time. You need it? I can grab it, it's right here. Trying to be a virtuous woman, and we have the tasks laid out, And we worked on loving our children in between, right? Because it really does take a love when you're teaching these tasks. Because you have in your ideal head that when you teach them one time, it's going to happen. It might be with one child forever. Or, as someone shares, it might be when they get their own house, you see them finally clean the way that you would desire for them to clean all along at your house. But that's the way it goes, you know? So I love how this starts here. It says, if you, oh, and I'm on page 52. Is that where you guys are at? Okay. If you aim for nothing, you're sure to hit it, right? That's a given, right? We believe that it's important part of biblical child rearing and homemaking to practice a form of scheduling in your life. And these scriptures that we have here, therefore be careful how you walk, not as an unwise man, but as a wise, making the most of your time because of the days are evil. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart, present to you a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90, 12. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack of the hand will be put to forced labor. Proverbs 12, 24. And then this one, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Colossians 3, 23 to 24. Write that everywhere. That's one that I put inside the notebook. I put it in the bathroom inside my mirror. So when I went in my bathroom and there was towels everywhere and toothpaste and toilet paper or whatever seemed to fly up in that room. Just remember your training and that it's going to take lots of practice and lots of time saying, great job on remembering to put the cap on the toothpaste. Now let's try wiping out the sink. You know, we're going to work on something new today. Or, you know, find a positive way to say it, and your family will love you much more. And I know it's hard, but call someone and say, all right, I said this. Correct me. Sister, help me say it positively. Because sometimes you can't think. You're just so trying so hard to run your house and be godly that your mind gets logged up. And I used to have a good friend, and we would call each other, well, I don't think you were quite the mom you thought you were today. And we were bluntly honest with each other. And, you know, maybe you might want to try saying it this way or encouraging your family that way. If you can find someone like that, we'll be honest and not say, well, it was because Susie was throwing a fit. That's not the issue. We have to control us first, right? So I loved, when I saw that verse in there, I was so happy. That I just think that's a great verse. And then Ecclesiastes 3, in that next paragraph, there's a time for everything. And it is so hard. I think especially if you have worked and been in the workforce, or you've been really involved in college, or something you really enjoyed, if you don't go straight from your home to being married, when if there's a period in between that you've tried something else and you had this freedom and all of a sudden you have this house that you're so excited about and you so want to run it, but then you can't get away from it. You don't get to go to work for the day, or you don't get to travel with the tennis team, or you're not at college and get to sit for 2 hours in the afternoon. You have to actually schedule all your time. And as the babies come, you think, oh, I'd really like to do that, you know, and I would like to do that. And there's so many tempting things out there to do. But if you follow what this says here, it really chastens your heart. I had a really good friend. She was administrator of a nursing home. And she just, all these business life things that she got to do. She's a wonderful, sweet person that advocates for seniors. And she called me, she said, I can't handle it. I want to go to this meeting today, even though I'm not working anymore. I want to be a part of that group. But we have to reset our priorities. And I'd say to her, dear friend, what is you and your husband's priorities now? What, you know, you're going to be a stay-at-home mom, so how are you going to tackle this? And so I really like looking here at the bottom of the page where it says, here are some of the benefits of scheduling. And I think if when you start doing these things, your focus will become your home and it will become your joy. And so let's look at them. An ability to seek to complete all that needs to be accomplished. That's again that time management thing where you start looking at how long does it really take even you to clean the bathroom, right? An awareness of the routine and a muscle memory of both the body and the mind to complete responsibilities. It's so tempting. We can turn on Al Mohler and listen to the podcast instead, or can we do that while we clean up the sink? You know? A security in knowing what comes next and a sense of accomplishment and progression. And that's the neat thing I think about this dot journal. My daughter, I tried to get her to loan me hers. She's the one that showed me this, by the way. She is tracking everything they do around the house, to cleaning, because they're both working right now. They have no children, and she's newly married. And she is dot journaling away, and she's just keeping track and feeling successful, because she was like, until the babies come, what do I do, Mom? You know, it's not happening. So she is tracking those things, and it's helping her feel a sense of accomplishment. An actual increase in the time as priorities are taken care of with less wasted time. That's the other thing, you can block out time this way. I always had my kids take an hour break at about right after lunch, depending on their ages. When they're younger, it would have been 12 to 1. As I got older, I got moved back from 1 to 2. I did what Jill did, I threw reading in on the end of that. But I needed a break, and they need a break, because we love each other.
You want to keep loving each other.
And what I found about that is that helped us manage our time, though, because friends knew that my kids were not going to get on the phone, answer a text, or anything until after they'd had lunch. It also helped my friends not mess up my schedule, because they knew I wasn't going to do answer texts or talk on the phone or have friends over, unless, of course, there's an emergency, someone needs to ride to the hospital, something like that. We lined them up on the counter, the phones. But I really had to do that. I ran a homeschool group. I was in charge of the ladies group at church and a couple other responsibilities. And, you know, people could just endlessly call me and interrupt, and I would never get anything done for my family. And I wanted to do both things well. So you set those standards. Tell your friends. Tell your mother. Tell your dad. Because once they retire, they call you all the time. So, that scheduling will really help. Safety and knowing where the line is of life and self-control and whether you have crossed them or not. This is especially true for children. Your children love to know what's going to go on and that you're going to stick to it. I have to admit, my first 5 years, I was like, oh, they probably didn't understand as much as I thought. You know, they didn't mean to skip their chore, or they didn't mean to do this. And my husband was like, no, every time. Do this, do this. Most heartbreaking thing was having my 5-year-old come to me after I was on game and say, Mom, remember when my heart was black? And I said, no, Tabby, I didn't remember when your heart was black. She said, well, it was when you didn't stick to your word. I didn't know whether I was going to have to do what you said or not do what you said. Trust me, they know. You know, make sure you stick to your word. Make it your first. Tote them out. I know it's hard. You're talking to your friend. Pick them up. When they disobey, disobedience is time to go. Same with the chore. If they're not doing it, don't sit there and fight with them. Someone that I love very dearly would argue with the short ones. But you don't. Pick them up, tote them out. Both of you deal with the situation and move on. And your no, and just what it said up here, letting your yes be yes, your no be no. And when I say, okay, enough is enough, enough is enough. And you will reap gold. I guarantee it. I have yet to meet a kid. I've had the privilege of getting to supervise 2 nephews for the summer, 3 years in a row, 2 different nephews each summer. They all came with, there wasn't a no yes. Within a week and a half, their hearts were changed. And they went home to their parents, and their parents said to me, what did you do? I said, I can only tell you one rule, and only one thing. The one child wore out my mop. that summer mopping my floor. He was so pleased he knew what he was supposed to do. 7 years old. So they will, I think everybody likes to know, right? We all like to know if you say what you're going to say, you're going to do what you're going to do. So now how do we go about this, right? We've got all the information of what it is and how our heart's supposed to be. So I think one of the most important things you can do is the how-to page here on 53. Journal out what you do every day for a few days and evaluate. And then laugh at yourself. Because I guarantee you will find that you do things you didn't know you do. Just like you eat things. I'm guilty of this. Eat things I don't know I ate. Like I'm talking to somebody and it's later and I just pick it up and eat. I do things that I don't even know I do. So I did not do this before this lesson, I have to tell you, because I don't want to confess too much tonight. So, you know, you catch yourself looking at your phone, or maybe it's reading a book, or I don't know, whatever your vice is, but you'll find that you do things you don't know you did. So that first one, where am I wasting my day? Now, I have a sheet over there that's from the lady that I bought my planner from. You cannot copy it. You have to buy it from her website. But you can look at the one I brought up there. I'm allowed to show you 7 pages out of the book. So I put some pages over there, kind of fun to look at. But just a simple, you know, journaling notebook. And I would recommend you do this once a month. I haven't done it in a while, but I used to. And I was always amazed every time. Then, as you see there, number 3, am I focusing on my top priorities? My husband, my children, my home, serving the church. I'm still on page 53 under the journaling. And that's when sometimes things pop up that you don't realize that you need to handle. I realized one of my children's name didn't come up when I was writing where I'm spending my time. So you find things that you wanted to do that you're not doing too. It won't be all bad. And so my husband and I realized we need to spend more time mentoring different children through checking this every once in a while. So he would say, hey, have you journaled lately? What did you find? What new needs do we have? Maybe one child needs more Bible time, or one needs more time on being taught to ride a bicycle and those things too. So you do find out a lot of good things about your family. And then we can prioritize them together when he knows that I've really looked at it and I'm not just whining, you know, about something, saying, oh, I think it's this, and my husband will say, no, that wasn't the problem. You were sitting on your computer, you know. I self-evaluated first, you know, and so can they. And then I like that one, am I taking time to teach my children about working hard? And it's easy to just throw these tasks at them, but when you work alongside them, one thing we did is we found a ministry for our children to serve in. And we had 2 different ministries that we did for 10 years. And we went out to Dr. Gary Parker's of the Creation Adventure Museum. And the kids were not allowed to do glorious things at first. They got to scrub their toilets. They got to mow their yard. They got to stack the shelves and the shovels, fix things, and do work like that. Once they showed themselves approved, and once we felt they had some biblical knowledge, then Gary let them move up to helping teach or supervise. And then Colgan became a team leader, and Tabitha actually taught some of the conferences, and Rosie and Maggie were getting there. And then there was another ministry. It's out by Arcadia. And the same thing, they had to work until they were show themselves approved to teach. And I would highly recommend this. It taught them that no task is below them. I kind of got the idea from Alistair Begg. Everybody at that church, at Truth for Life, has to the janitor is in every meeting, and they consider them all part of the ministry. And so I told the kids, you're part of the ministry when you are willing to work at every part of it. And Colgan, who went on to work at Publix, they said one of the things that they're just floored, and my daughter Tabitha too, you know, no job is below them. So that good work ethic comes in handy later, and it helps those first jobs that they get, I think, to be palatable, you know. So I would encourage you to do something like that. Our church cleans itself, so right there's an excellent opportunity. And I'm sure there's other ministries around this Venice area that you could be involved in. There's lots of small ministries out there. All right. Now, scheduling can be done in a variety of ways, right? This one is a fluid scheduling. It's not the scheduling of forms, but it's the scheduling of your life based on where your life is at. So when you have a new baby, obviously, the first 6 months to a year, depending on the baby, it's going to be more centered around when the baby sleeps or naps. But I love, don't forget, the baby came into the family, not the other way around, right? And that's really hard to remember sometimes when you have no sleep. So this is where we go back to chapter 4, and we have all those tasks. And if someone does offer to help you, it was amazing how if I said to someone, this is the kitchen, this is what we do, someone would come over and do that for us, you know, and lead your children to it, or the children would be glad to help the adult that came to help you. So having those things in place can really help. An hour by hour or half hour time schedule makes things in the day go a lot better. And if things get thrown out of whack, you can just pick up where you left off the next day. Or nobody's going to die if the floor doesn't get mopped every day, right? We won't, I promise. It feels like it sometimes, though. Especially when you stick to the floor. All right. The next part is, I love the card on page 54. Even as simple as this note card, picking out Monday's laundry day, clean the whole house. Tuesday's ironing, clean out the fridge and meal plan. Wednesday is shopping. Thursday, paperwork, bills, desk. Friday, sheets, weekly chore charts. Saturday is the family day and yard work. That will save you. Because then you know when to schedule free time, play dates, doctor's appointments. Well, you know, you might think in your head, oh, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom, so every day is open. No, really look at your thing. So shopping day, if I was following this schedule, would be the day I would schedule my doctor's appointments. Because if I'm going to go out, make that your day, your routine is disrupted. Paperwork day, you know, I would look at that and find out what other tasks in my chart fit in. I think sometimes we're afraid of running out of milk. There's actually an out-of-milk app. I think people are really afraid of it. But we're not going to die if we run out of milk or eggs or flour. We probably have enough food in our homes to last those 2 weeks anyhow. I don't run out for milk. If milk runs out before shopping day, we go without milk. Because you can run yourself to death. You know, and that may not be comfortable for you or your family, but just think about things that you don't have to run out after. Stop yourself. You'll find that you're a lot calmer and a lot more at peace with it.
That's the budget too, because every time you go to the grocery store, you buy more than that one thing.
Yes.
Before, so you're racking up the.
Right, and you're putting miles on your car. Every time you set the car up and back and forth, you're wearing on the starter. I think one thing that really helped me with this is we lived out in the middle of nowhere. I think you were a farm girl too, right? If we ran out of something, we didn't go get it. When I met my husband, he would go to the store 50,000 times a day. I'm like, stop, we don't need it. We'll live, you know? He's trying to be helpful and caring, but everybody in the house will live. And I've learned if I don't do that, they don't eat up the stuff. They think about it. There's a lot less of that happening. So, and I think it helps teenagers in the long run not to just whip through different foods that you've said are free range, but will help. So, I want you to look at the my schedule page there and priorities. And when you write these priorities out, not in this little section on that form, I hope you have a Bible journal or a time that you communicate with your husband. I hope those priorities are well written out, obtainable, achievable, meaningful, and God-centered. Because it's so easy to put things on there that other of your friends are doing, or other moms that you know, or what you think the ideal mom is doing. Really don't look there. Look to your own family and your own needs. It's really hard. Really easy for me to say that right now. But there's times you look at it and you're like, their kids know the whole book of John. We need to get on that. You know, or their kids have read the whole Anne of Green Gables series. We're only on book two. We've been there forever. Their house is spotless. The kids have their tasks all down. Don't do that. Try hard, you know? And find someone, and if you want to, call me. I'll encourage you. Cut it back and really sit down with your husband and make it obtainable for both, because you will stress out your husband. You will stress out yourself, and you'll stress out your kids, and it won't be what God has for your family. I've learned to pray about it, and things I started stressing about, and they'll happen like a year later, and it'll be exactly at the right time, in the will of God, at His timing, not Miss Cheryl's timing, but at God's timing. So I was going to encourage everybody to take a couple minutes, and even on the back of the handout, write down three or four priorities that you have right now. And from listening to this message, because it's so easy to get in the car and get home and you're hit with something the minute you come to the door. Somebody needs diapers, you're on your way to Walmart tonight. Write down the first three things that you want to do, because what we don't want this to do, these lessons to become like, oh, another thing I have to get done. But just think of three or four priorities that will help you. Is everybody about done? Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we do not give up. So after you see that list, be encouraged. It will happen one thing at a time, one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, and sometimes five times in 1 minute, depending on if it's a toddler. So don't grow weary. Is there anything on your list that you think you need help from someone else here in this room? You don't have to raise your hand or anything, but if you want to, you can call me or text me, and I'll pray for you and maybe see if we can't interlink ourselves to get you help in that area. Some of you are preparing for babies and you're getting up to fourth baby, right? And you have baby coming, right? Yep. So there might be things you're worried about. Let's not be anxious. Let's work together as a body of sisters in the body of Christ and be there so that we can alleviate some of that. And I'm pushing that one because that was my fault. I was the worst at accepting help. I would say, oh no, I'm fine, even though I dropped dead on the floor. I didn't want to burden anyone. Well, we're not burdening someone if we're not keeping our family up and we're in the body. We're going to be a better part of the body if we all help each other. So, can I get someone to close us in prayer? Or unless anybody has questions. I'd like to leave it there with your thoughts on what your list is to do and what your needs are, and that you may not grow weary.
I would just like to add something. Just because I can have the struggle of thinking that God is evaluating me based on how much I get done that day.
Yes.
And that's not what he looks at. It's my faithfulness of whatever he brings my way and
yes.
how I have that. Because so easily I can make an idol out of, okay, this is what I have to get done. I'm going to get it done at all costs.
That's
you know?
Right. That's
kids, watch out.
Right.
And
right.
That's not helpful. So it's when I get interrupted, because I'm also very one-track minded, and I have my list and I'm getting it done, and the kid interrupts me, Mom, can you help me with this? Mom, can I go through the recycling bin and, you know, make an invention or whatever? And to
no, it's garbage night.
Or just all the things that come your way. It's like, they're my mission field, you know.
Right.
Getting the things my husband wants done, it's not all about the list. So I have to loosen up a little bit and just remember that the goal is to be faithful to whatever God sends my way.
Right.
And it's not interruptions. They're my children.
Right.
You know, so for me, it's I swing the pendulum a little bit the other way and remember that it's not about
yep.
the list.
We don't want to become taskmasters. And I don't know if you were here for it, but when, I'm very much that way. Very, very much. The less we're going to get the things done, then we can play. Sometimes playing happens in the middle of that. I taught my kids to come up to me and say, Mom, do you want a cup of tea? When I would be like that. And I'd have to stop and say what kind of tea I liked, and the water would have to boil, and I would have to sit down, and I would have to change my routine, you know? And I encourage you. I've had many other friends that I found a different way for my kids to ask me the same question. Mm-hmm. And it's the humility. And God is so, I've learned to pray in the morning, God's, I want to do your will today, not Cheryl's will today. Lord, just keep me in your will. And amazing, miraculous, special, unbelievable things happen on the days that I pray that. I've had people drive up to my house when I had planned to paint a room, and their car broke down. They were a family from church, and she needed to be driven across town to be taken to get shots. And for some odd reason, I bought this huge amount of food to cook for no one, and I was able to feed them supper and do that. But if I would have saved my task, I would have said, well, let me call so-and-so from church, and they'll run you to the doctor's appointment or over to get the thing, instead of dropping what I was doing, because I wanted to be in his will and pray that, obviously, this person came to my door for my help. And this was the time. So we do have to remember this is just a schedule.
It's a means to faithfulness.
Right. And if things get missed on it, we will live. Even if the room doesn't get painted for another 3 months.
Which so I think if you asked any woman, what would you consider a good day?
Right.
It would be, I got stuff done. You know,
right?
Even for me, I feel good when
right?
I get stuff done. It's like I responded faithfully to what God gave
yeah.
me. I was faithful.
Right. Right. So that encourage any of you? Yeah. Right. Janet, can I have you close this up prayer? Or did you open?
I opened.
Oh, forget. I was
actually... She loves to pray.
You only hear me all the time.
No, no, no. Edie.
Would you?
Heavenly Father, you just are so gracious to us and love us. And you have our days planned out. And we just want to be able to rest in that and to know that your schedule and your time is something that we need to, I want to say, incorporate in my life, because I struggle with this as well. And I just thank you so much for Cheryl and her wisdom and her openness and vulnerability. And I just pray that